Hello there, my fellow warrior. Today, I want to talk about the rubber meeting the road and really challenge you to decide when that's going to happen for you. Do you ever feel like you want things to change, but then nothing does? Or are you always waiting for an outside influence to make things better? Do you feel too tired to do anything about your situation? Or do you just not know what to do? Been there and done that. Or should I say been there and not done anything about it? That's what I did for years. And it's understandable if you've gone through something really difficult or you still are. For some of us, the two by fours, that's what I call them, life's two by fours, that have whacked us upside the head are big. They are things that really have thrown a monkey wrench into our lives. And I guess that's really putting it mildly. They have us down on the mat, not sure what to do, where to turn. Our hearts are broken. They're ripped right out of our chests or shattered into a million pieces. We don't understand. How did we get here? This is not how our lives were going. This is not the direction we were headed. And then boom, you know, upside the head with that 2x4. You're blindsided. And when that happens, fear comes calling. At the core of everything, the reasons that we don't make changes is fear somewhere. Fear of making the wrong decision. Fear of what other people might think. Fear that if we do something and it turns out to be wrong, we're going to feel bad. Fear that we should act or shouldn't act and we're confused. And so building courage is so critical. And everyone is courageous. I know you may not feel that way right now, but you are. It is time for you to step up, to find that tiny bit of courage, a little bit of hope, and say, that's it. I'm going to step up and do something. So we've all been inspired, right? We've all had that feeling of, wow, I feel good about something. But inspired kind of dissipates, right? You get inspired and then you go, okay, that was cool. And then back to life. The next stage would be you get motivated. You go, okay, I feel inspired. I'm motivated. I actually want to do something about it. So in fact, I found a couple of definitions. First of inspire would be to create a feeling, a positive feeling in a person. Okay, so see, that's just a feeling. And then motivating, to motivate would be to stimulate your interest in or enthusiasm for doing something. Now it's like we're starting to move into the doing something phase. But still, that's not enough. Again, life happens. Somebody says something, unexpected happens. You get sick, whatever, and then you're derailed. And we know that these feelings don't last long. And then it's all forgotten. So what you have to do is be empowered. Now, this is interesting. One of the definitions is to make you stronger and more confident, especially in controlling your life and claiming your rights. So empowered is like, yes, I have the ability. You have to believe that you have the ability, but then you're going, well, what do? I don't have any tools. That's why I created the 9 Weapons of Hope. And I just want you to listen a little bit about them, because this might be the day that you say, okay, I need to start using these. I need to get some, you know, little nugget. I need to have something to do. Because that was my biggest problem for 13 years, is that I didn't know what to do. I didn't know that there could be a way for me to find myself again, to be happy again, to live my life while my daughter, Jamie, was in her addiction. I didn't think it was possible. I literally thought that it was all on her. It had to be her. She had to beat this thing. Now, by the way, I spent years trying to beat the thing for her, but if that situation didn't change, if that didn't happen, then my life was over. That's how I felt for 13 years. And then I decided one day, you might know my story, right? I'm standing in my kitchen and I tell Rich, I don't want to be here anymore. And that scared me. Those words scared me into action. And it's funny, I was being interviewed for a podcast yesterday, and she said, okay, well, so after that happened, what did you do? Well, I had no idea what I was doing, right? I just knew something had to change. I was motivated. That was it. I was done. But then I didn't quite know what to do. So I gathered all the knowledge I had developed and I started studying more and I started, you know, reaching into the depths of my memory and my soul and just putting some things together and figuring out how to change how I was looking at everything. But the first thing I had to do was decide. I had to make a decision that this is it. I'm going to empower myself, dang it, no matter what it takes. So that's why if you've worked in my workbooks or read Still Standing After All the Tears, and those are the 9 actions to battle your beast, and they're phenomenal. That's the first thing I came up with were these 9 things. And by the way, it wasn't like, oh, I had an epiphany one day and said, hey, let me have these 9 things. You know, it was a process of me using, and I used my own tools. I don't just go out and create something and go, here, this will work for you, I hope, right? These are things that I still do today. And I'm pretty sure, not pretty sure, I know I will use them for the rest of my life because I have, you know, my daughter was murdered and I've got this ongoing situation that will be a situation of some sort to some degree for the rest of my life. And even if I didn't have that, life, everybody has challenges. And the older we get, I think the more difficult things become. We have more losses. You know, we have our challenges that come with aging. And so anyway, I want to give you a little rundown here and maybe a little tip or two or something that will inspire you, something you could use right now. But importantly, I want to encourage you to go to warriorsandhope.com and then go to the Sisterhood. If you join the Sisterhood, you get access to the 9 Weapons of Hope. And it's my digital program that is delivered through our app. There are downloadable workbooks. There are videos. There are images and, you know, verbal explanations, obviously in the video, but also written out text. There's just a lot there. And we start out and I talk about the beast. There's a whole module on the beast and there's a module on courage. You are courageous. You are courageous enough to do this. Trust me, you are. Then we go into the 9 Weapons of Hope. And as I said before, the 9 actions and the 9 weapons are similar. They're actually in a different order because it's just, I learned as I went. That is not to negate the 9 actions to battle your beast, which are in Still Standing After All the Tears and the workbooks. Those are still fantastic, phenomenal. If that's the way you choose to go, go to Amazon and do that. If that's what you would rather do, get the book, get a workbook and get moving. Gather some people together with the workbook. Have yourself a little group. I know people who've done that, many people. So get yourself a group together or do it on your own, but do something, darn it. I mean, I'm so passionate about this because I see all the time people that are just drowning. And, you know, all you need to do is turn around and swim for shore. So the first thing, whether it's the 9 actions or the 9 weapons of hope, is about decisions. You have to decide. Decide. Without a decision, you're not going to do anything. And when I put together the 9 actions to battle your beast, which was the original, you know, the one that's in the books and workbook, I thought I wrestled with this. And when I moved on and decided to elevate this into the 9 weapons of hope, I had the same struggle because I thought, wow, spiritual armor should be first. That is one of the weapons of hope, your spiritual armor. And I thought, well, that should be first because without faith, without believing in something bigger than yourself, without some higher power, whatever you believe, I don't know how people do it. I mean, this thing would have crushed me, would have eaten me alive. And by the way, my faith has wavered a lot during all of this. And I talk about some of that and help you go through that if that is something that is a challenge to you in the 9 weapons of hope, in the weapon of hopes, particularly your spiritual armor. But the reason I always go back to decisions, you won't even decide to enrich, strengthen, create faith without first making a decision. Without decisions, a committed decision. And then there's a million decisions along the way. And I know for a lot of you that you have gone through something so difficult, you're afraid to make a decision about anything. I mean, literally, I felt like I couldn't make a meal anymore. And I used to be a good cook. Well, I still think I am, but for a while there I wasn't because I couldn't figure out anything. And I was afraid to make a decision for fear of making the wrong one. Well, here's the thing. You have an unlimited supply of decisions, so stop being so afraid to make them. If you make one that you don't think is the best decision, make a different one. So as you work through that module, you will be given a visual of the decision-making process will really help to get this into your mind that we make decisions and then we get feedback. Okay, so maybe that decision wasn't the best. Now let me make a different one. I can't go back in the past, right? So we get feedback. And then every time you make a decision, you have to take action. You got to do something with it. And we just keep monitoring that. And sometimes we go back to our pivotal decision. That's what you're going to do in this Weapon of Hope. You're going to figure out, what's my pivotal decision? Right? That thing that's going to change my life. I don't know how I'm going to get there yet, but let me just make the decision. That's what I did. And by the way, I didn't have the 9 Weapons of Hope. I didn't have a roadmap. I didn't have guidance, but that's what I did. I said, okay, this is it. I'm going to make a decision. Here is my decision that I was going to stand up and fight for my life. That was it. I was going to stand up and fight. I was no longer going to self-destruct along with my daughter. It didn't change how much I cared about her, how much I loved her, how much hope I had that she would beat her beast. None of that changed. But what changed is I stopped self-destructing. I stopped going down the path with her and just expecting all of my, you know, the good things that were going to happen in my life to be on Jamie's shoulders. Not cool, right? So that was my pivotal decision. And it changed my life. Was it easy? No. Is it still easy? No. It, you know, did I meander around? Yes. Did I take a left turn, a right turn, some U-turns? Did I run into roadblocks and monsters and mountains? Of course, all of that. But guess what? The road I was on was already hard. And it also was joyless, no matter how it looked on the outside. That's why I'm so passionate about that first Weapon of Hope. Then it's your attitude, because the battle is for your mind. The battle's for your mind. If the big beast, as I call the enemy, if the big beast can stop you with your thoughts, if he can halt everything right there, game over. Right? Because everything starts with a thought and then we take action. And if he can affect your thoughts and get you to feel like a failure, a loser, these are some of the things that ran through my mind, you know, a bad mom, a bad wife, a bad whatever, a bad child of God, on and on and on. If he can get you down on the mat, whispering in your face and screaming in your ear, these types of things, or should I say, I said that backwards. I usually say screaming in your face and whispering in your ear, because sometimes it's subtle and other times it's just boom, boom, right in your face. And if he can get you there, yeah, all bets are off. Easy. Let's check her off the list. The next Weapon of Hope is your story. I love this. Well, I love all of them, but I love this because this is where you start to believe in the value of your story and the value of your adversity. That your story isn't like, oh, what a bummer, man. That's the part that, of my life that stinks. Let me put that aside and try to accomplish something, and then I can be of value. It's really kind of the opposite. What you've been through is why you have so much more value. Because you have perspective. You've gained insight that other people haven't. And even if they have, yours is unique because nobody has walked your path and is the unique person that is you. There's not another person on the planet like you. Dang it, this is where you start to get excited in the 9 Weapons of Hope. Then it's your release. And your release is letting go of the things we don't have control over. And for me, I had such an eye-opening moment when I finally said to myself after 13 years, I said, wow, you know, if I had the ability to save Jamie from her beast, her addiction beast, wouldn't I have done it a long time ago? Of course I would have. There it was. Wow. In my face. Such an epiphany. So it's where you're going to learn to use the F word, as I call it, forgiveness, which seems like such a buzzword, but it is so incredibly powerful when you learn to forgive everybody for everything. I've had to forgive the guy who shot my daughter back when she was 18 and nearly took her life. And then I have forgiven the guy who murdered my daughter. This is a guy who laughed at me and mocked me in the preliminary hearing, turned around and made a point of laughing at the mother of a girl he gunned down, a defenseless little girl. I mean, it was unbelievable. But I had to forgive him. Am I mad at him? Yes. Do I want him to go to prison? Of course. I want justice, but there's a big difference between justice and forgiveness. I don't allow him to take up any more of my heart because he already blew a hole in it. Done, over, doesn't get any more of me. Anyway, so this release is about releasing all of the things we can't control, which is mostly everything in our lives, aside from what we think, what we say, what we do, and our feelings even. And you're going to learn about how you really do have control over feelings, even though they come out of nowhere. That happens in your release. Your spiritual armor, I already touched on. Then there's your circle of strength. And this is the one where you really kind of roll up your sleeves and you figure out the different sections of the Nine Weapons of Hope, which are presented to you with imagery and explanations. And then you go, you know, where do I have people? Who's really in my inner circle? And who belongs there? Am I trying to stuff the wrong person in there and causing me nothing but grief and frustration and disappointment? You start to analyze your relationships, and you even get to figure out what to do with the ring of fire. Those are the people who are so difficult to be with in a relationship. What do you do about those people? Can you avoid them? Why aren't you? And if you can't, there's so much to learn from those ring of fire people. So your circle of strength is all about your people, your relationships. Then it comes to focus. Especially when you're going through something like you are, the focus is something that gets very distorted. We look at, I call it OPL, other people's lives. And when we're looking at OPL, we're going, oh my gosh, everybody else's life is so wonderful, especially on social media, which is of course why you may have heard my social media warning. Warning, warning, danger, Will Robinson. Are you old enough to remember that? Lives lived out on social media may appear better than they really are. Isn't that the truth? And so we get a very distorted perspective of other people's lives, OPL, and that leaves us feeling as if our lives are just a disaster. Because what we see on the outside, for the most part, with most people, is their best foot forward, their best images, their vacations, you know, oh, the perfect husband, and everything just looks so perfect in their lives. And we're living all of ours, right? The ups and downs, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So focus is something that you work on in that Weapon of Hope. Super powerful. Then it's your oxygen mask. And your oxygen mask is that if you don't put the oxygen mask on your own face before assisting others, you're going to pass out or worse. You've got to focus on self-care. And a couple of the things in this weapon might surprise you that I consider self-care. Self-care is not selfish. I would actually argue that not taking care of yourself is selfish, because how will you be there for anybody else if you burn out in thinking that this is in service of others? You don't serve anybody if there's nothing left of you. And then finally, your legacy. This is another one I struggle with, you know, legacy at the end. What if people don't make it through all the nine weapons? Please make it through all of them. But I put it at the end, but I just really hope that you will go through all the nine weapons and all the way through your legacy, because I really could put it in the beginning and it might inspire you, because your legacy is happening right now, whether you're thinking about it or not, whether you're focused on it, whether you're trying to leave the best legacy, it's happening. Too many people think legacy is only for people who have, you know, been a Pulitzer Prize winning novelist or have a bunch of property or business to leave behind. Those pieces are legacy, but everyone is leaving one, because you are impacting people every moment of every day. Wherever you go, we leave an impression on people. We deposit pieces of ourselves in other people. So the really super cool thing is, well, this could actually scare you or motivate you, that we are leaving a piece of ourselves in the world forever because we impact someone. Our DNA kind of changes. I mean, we literally are changed because of other people, good and bad. And then that we go on to touch other people and so on and so on. I've told this story many times and it's the most simple story. And I want to keep telling this simple story because it illustrates it to a good point. Because I feel like if you feel like, oh, I'm gonna leave a legacy, I've got to go do something magnificent. Go ahead, do something magnificent. But little things are also big things. So my friends, Chris's dad, his name is Ron, and this is back in the 70s, and we're sitting around this little kitchen table in this little kitchen, and we're 11 years old, and Ron was always giving you the positive attitude speech. I consider him my first motivational speaker. Wherever you are, Ron, I'm still talking about you. And I don't remember why he said this or what was going on. This is all I remember from that little 11-year-old experience is that he said, when you have a bad attitude, you can't eat right, you can't sleep right, you can't poop right, you can't do anything right. And of course, you know, when you're 11 years old, you can't poop right is funny. Maybe it's still funny. It's just that we cracked up. But it wasn't until later on that I really thought about that because that story had stuck with me. And I thought about, wow, Ron's right. Simple words, but he was right about those simple words. So see, it could be just 5 minutes around a little kitchen table where you make a difference in somebody else's life. And then decades later, they're still talking about you. And even if they aren't talking about you decades later, that imprint was left in their heart and their soul. That imprint is part of me now. That little 5 minutes or whatever it was with Ron changed me. It helped me to be who I am today. So I carry Ron with me, and I haven't spoken to Ron or even my friend Chris in decades. So the question for you today is, when will the rubber meet the road for you? When will you finally decide, I'm going to start getting my tools together, getting it together, and working something, empowering myself with the resources that I need in a moment? Because, you know, it's great if you're going to a counselor or something like that, keep doing that. You know, you can do that alongside the Nine Weapons of Hope. What's great about them is that you have access 24/7. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, you need a resource. You need some inspiration. You need to change your focus, your attitude. You need something. You can get into the app, boom, and get access to it. So they're such empowering tools. Then, you know, you take these nuggets and they become a part of your everyday life. Then when something happens, something hits, you know exactly what to do. And so that's why I really more than encourage you to go into the Nine Weapons of Hope and start working them. And how you get access to them is through the Sisterhood, the Warriors and Hope Sisterhood. So when you go to warriorsandhope.com, hit Sisterhood and get in there and get access to it. Once a month, we meet in Warrior Circle. So you can meet with other people and hear different perspectives. And we chat about a topic. Super powerful. Actually, the Sisterhood would be worth it if that's all you had access to. But really, honestly, the best thing you can do is work those Nine Weapons of Hope. They saved my life. They are still what keeps me going every single day. So time is flying by. You don't have any more time to wait, to waste, to hope things will get better. Because you know what? The next part of my story, of course, is that things didn't get better. After I developed the nine actions to battle your beast and started working that and wrote, you know, my first book and wrote workbooks and had, you know, really helping people, life got worse. As you know, my daughter was murdered. And now we're going through all this, you know, legal system for years now, years. It's been almost 8 years and we don't have justice yet. Life's tough. And I had a whole lot of other stuff come up against us, big stuff. I mean, we didn't have just this one thing, maybe like you. So if I didn't have these tools and resources, what would I do? Where would I be? I don't even like to think about where I'd be today if I didn't use what I'm offering you. And that's what, if the Nine Weapons of Hope and the Sisterhood is not for you, for whatever reason you prefer, go to Amazon and get Still Standing After All the Tears and a workbook and work it yourself, you know, get a group together. But I really encourage you to join the sisterhood because this is time for you to become empowered. No more just getting inspired. No more going, okay, I'm motivated. It's time for the rubber to meet the road. We can do this together. I hope to see you in the sisterhood.